We are very much suggestible when we're coming out of our sleep-wake cycle. And that is a perfect time to set intention for the day and to decide, what do I want this day to be like? And who do I want to be? And like, what would make this a day successful for me? And how do I want to show up?
This is
the Energy Motto Podcast, a show for the youth, for the curious, and for those seeking to discover more about their inner and outer world.
We are bringing on the experts, guides, and leaders that are shaping the path to an exciting era.
And we are your hosts, Emilio Ortiz
and Alvaro Jodá.
From health optimization trends to esoteric modalities of healing, Sky Cowens explores and investigates a broad range of topics in the health and wellness world. Her curiosity and passion for video creation has led her to become a YouTube sensation on her channel SkyLife with over 100,000 subscribers. With a career in broadcast journalism and creating content at digital media company BuzzFeed, Sky has merged her skills with her passion for investigating the numerous wellness trends from an objective yet playful point of view. Whether she's experimenting with the elimination diet for 4 months, meditating in vortexes at Sedona, or trying medicinal mushrooms, Sky's unique way of communicating information and telling stories has a way of opening the mind and eyes of all her viewers. She's even responsible for connecting the world-famous Wim Hof, known as the Iceman, with the creators of Yes Theory. She embarked on this journey with them to overcome fears, seek discomfort, and helped produce the epic documentary on Yes Theory's channel, Becoming Superhuman. Sky is truly a beautiful soul on the path of exploration and discovery. If you value her insights in this conversation, head over and subscribe to her channel, SkyLife. You'll be blown away by her courage and authenticity as she does what she loves and brings a sense of passion, quality, and love into her videos. And of course, thank you guys for tuning into the Energy Motto Podcast. We're very excited for you to hear this conversation. And if you learn something new or get inspired, spread the love by sharing this with a friend or hitting a screenshot and posting it on social media. Make sure to tag us because we would love to connect with like-minded, awesome people. And without further ado, sit back and enjoy the show. We're live with Sky Cowens. How are you doing?
Hey. Hello, hello.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Nah, thank you for coming on. We just wanted to dive deeper in a bit about your story. So I wanted to start off back in college where we are right now, when you were studying broadcast journalism. Then you graduated, you went off to get a job at BuzzFeed, and then you started a YouTube channel. I remember you talked about SkyLife 1.0. And then how did you get to this point? And I know that you're a very curious person. Like almost every video, you always say, I still have a lot of questions. So I wanted to know, like, where does that curiosity start from? Where did it come from? And what is your story really, really about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am always asking questions because what I've learned through following my curiosity is that I will seek answers to questions, and then the more I learn, the less I know. So the curiosity has always been there. I mean, I've been curious since I was very young. I was like a little curious George monkey. But, you know, I think there was a time in my life where I thought I knew a lot more than I actually did. Like when we're in high school and college, we think we know everything. Mm-hmm. And then we realized we actually know nothing. And that's sort of what I found out as I went through my own personal struggles as an adolescent, like coming into adulthood, you go through a lot of personal development and sort of like inner struggle to find your identity. And through that process, I just realized like there's so much about this world and this reality that I have no answer to, and there's so much in life we can't explain. And especially through following a spiritual path, you realize that there is just endless possibilities. So I think I always have more questions than answers, even when I explore a topic and try and learn as much as possible about it. Especially also like studying journalism, and sort of what I do on my YouTube channel is journalistic in a way, because I'm learning about a topic and then sharing what I learn. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if I wanted to actually be an expert on this topic, I would need to study it for years. And that's, I think, something that in an age of information, we all need to understand, is that you can't just Google a topic, read a couple articles and think that you know the answer and think that, oh, this is the truth. That is just like almost ignorant to think that is, you know, we're so lucky to have Google to just like search something quick and find a quick answer. But there's often so much more context we're missing. There's like so much to uncover. So for me, it's just exciting because life is a journey of learning. Like it's endless learning. And actually they've done research on people who live the longest, healthiest lives. They often have certain things in common. And one of them is that they're often lifelong learners. They never stop learning. And so, you know, my mission is to help people live healthier, happier lives, and learning and being curious and being humble in knowing that we don't have all the answers is a huge part of actually like the full scope of what it means to be healthy through the research. And just because like having that childlike curiosity does actually keep us young and excited about life.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I admire about you a lot, is that you really go so deep on a topic when you choose to make a video about it or whatever you're studying. And that's not something that can be found very easily, because as you said, we're so used to having like very short attention spans. Going on Instagram, we always just want like a 1 minute video. How are you able to really choose a topic that's going to keep you there for the long term?
Yeah, well, I choose topics for my videos that I am most curious about, that I actually want to learn about, that I'm excited to learn about. And then my goal is that through making a video about what I learn, that the viewer can come on a journey with me of that exploration and hopefully learn something. I want my videos to be informative, also entertaining. Mm-hmm. And that's a very much an art now. It's like how you keep people's attention. And I know that my videos won't keep the attention of a lot of people. Because as you know, they're, you know, they can be quite in depth with some of the science. For some people, they're going to get bored and they're not going to want to follow that. But I, you know, I am most interested in reaching people who actually want to learn and expand their minds. Mm-hmm. And I'm also learning as I move forward, like, you know, how do I have an art form of video creation that can be informative, but maybe like a little bit easier to digest. When I first started, like everything was so in depth, and now I'm thinking maybe I can make it easier to understand for people, and it doesn't have to be like that. It depends on the video, but yeah, I think my channel attracts certain type of audience and viewer for a reason. And I want to connect with people who actually want to learn and are as curious as I am. And I want to make content that is valuable and that's informative and educational, while hopefully also being entertaining. But yeah, I think when it comes to choosing topics, I never have a lack of ideas. I just am constantly getting, because I live and breathe sort of what I do on my channel. Like my channel is about wellness, spirituality, lifestyle. And that's what I live and breathe. It's like, this is what I am already exploring in my life. So for me, the topics I never have a lack of ideas. Like the creativity for the actual ideas is just coming to me all the time, because, you know, I'll be somewhere and I meet someone, and that happens frequently, where I'm like, oh, this person would be so interesting in a video, or, oh, I didn't know about this alternative healing. And I just learned about it because I was at this event where someone's talking to me about it. Like, I'm just so engulfed in the culture of wellness and spirituality, especially living in LA, that the ideas just come. Then the struggle is like, how do I execute on those ideas every single week, keep up with the pace of YouTube, and make those videos the best they can be? And that's something that as a video creator, you sort of have to get over things being perfect, because they can't. Like, if I made every video perfect, I wouldn't have anything to post. I could work on a video for a year. Like, but I just have to keep up and be okay with like just things not being perfect. And then the beauty in that is that you get to learn after every video. You get better as a creator, and you learn something, and you learn what you can do better next time, and let those failures be a learning experience rather than failures. Cause I feel like I used to be so afraid of failure, and now I'm like, have to totally embrace it, cause it's just part of what I'm doing. It's just like part of anything in life, but especially making videos constantly, you have to be so okay with like failing and then learning from it.
Yeah, that's something that Alvaro and I were experiencing today, because we're actually like editing an episode for next week. And really, like, when I was editing it, like when I was looking into it, it started to drive me crazy, because there was like a little background noise or something like clicked or whatever. And I was just like, bro, like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is driving me crazy. I was super stressed. How do you get over that, like, perfectionism and understand that, okay, like, as you just said, not everything is going to be perfect, but just keep going. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. So one thing I've learned, especially working at BuzzFeed, I think they taught us this really well, is that videos especially, it's less about, like, the technical perfection. The thing that matters is the story and what you're sharing with the audience in terms of the content itself. Like, that is less about how good the video looks and like the perfection of the audio. It just has to hit, it just has to reach the hearts of people, and the story needs to be compelling. So that is sort of now, like, I have been less attached to the technical perfection and more caring about, okay, is this video like going to tell a story that's going to actually impact someone? Story is absolutely everything. And so yeah, I think I definitely have had to let go of my perfectionist brain when it comes to editing videos, because I am very much like, I love the technical side of making videos and I love editing. But there's so much that, like, there's even things in videos I posted, I made a mistake and I can't even watch the video because I'm like, oh my God, that one mistake drives me insane.
Yeah. No one actually notices it, right?
What?
And almost no one notices it.
Maybe, I don't know. I've had some pretty like big mistakes and I'm like, oh no. Like, and I try and watch my videos so many times before I post and send them to people, but sometimes like glitches will happen in exporting, and then and then you're rushing to get something out. And so you just have, yeah, for me, it's like, just, okay, I learned, move on. That's it.
Yeah. And that's crazy. I love that you make it your duty to really put in that valuable content and that investigation all in. And that's what actually tells a story. And that's what actually, you know, brings out, you know, your audience. So I wanted to ask, like, did you get that from university? Did you get it on BuzzFeed? Did you get it as a journalist? Mm-hmm. You know, how were you able to make this content with so much quality?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I have been making videos since I was really young. Actually, even I was going to like film camp. One of my really good friends is also home visiting, and he is a filmmaker, amazing filmmaker who went to NYU film school. And we were in film camp together at like 12 years old. It was called media camp or something. And we were making these, you know, making videos at that age, and he was doing it even younger. He's like really, really good. But even in high school, I'm so lucky. Like right now I'm home visiting my hometown in Massachusetts, and I am going to the local cable station to edit and use their editing suites right now, because I have a relationship with them, because in high school, our media classes were in conjunction with the local cable station. So we got to use their studios, and that was huge for me. Like being in high school, I did so many things. I was an athlete, and I was playing competitive soccer, and I was doing like the musicals, and I was in student government. Like I was totally an overachiever. Wow. And I was not sleeping enough. My biggest advice for high school students and college students is like, take things off your plate and sleep more, because sleep after learning, this is going on a tangent, but it's important. Like after learning about the research behind sleep, especially in adolescence and in college, it is so critical for brain development, and for overall well-being, for especially for mental health, for especially high school students and college students during that time of development to be sleeping extra. So I wasn't sleeping enough during that time. So that's total tangent, but I always give that advice to young people.
More. I had the same experience as you, because we probably started school. I started school at 7:30 a.m. You know, we had homework till 11 p.m., extracurricular activities till 5, 6 p.m. And you can't keep up. And no. At the end of the day, your health is just, it trickles down to nothing. And that's why I got into the wellness, you know, aspect, because of that. That was the root. So I can't agree more.
Yeah, I totally can relate to that. That nonstop daily schedule, getting up super early, going to sports right after school, staying up late to study. It's crazy that that's what the expectations we're putting on young people. Mm-hmm. And I just don't agree with it after knowing what I know now about well-being and sleep and the importance of rest. I think there are so many young people struggling with mental health obstacles. Yeah. And I just really think we need to like slow down a bit. So I was doing way too many things in high school. But one of the things that I loved was in my classes, I was always signing up for the media classes, and we got to go to the local cable station and actually put our work like on, nobody was watching like the local cable station,
the local news,
like 10 people watching this tiny, my tiny hometown's cable station, but I got to learn so much. It had such an impact on me. And even, like I said, my friends and I were in those classes together, and it was always a small group. Even another friend of mine right now, who I'm super close with, who's doing my website right now, she and I had a talk show our senior year. Mm-hmm. And that was so, so great for me. And then that's sort of what led me to study television news reporting and broadcast journalism. And I do think that I learned a lot about the importance of accurate information. And now, like online, everybody is a journalist and everybody can be a storyteller, which is awesome. But I really do feel and holds it really important. It's really important to me that the information I'm putting out is as accurate as it can be. And I use all of the skills I learned studying journalism to do that. And like, I went to an amazing journalism school that, I mean, what we learned was so foundational, and they taught us just like such great journalistic skills and journalistic integrity. And we learned about media law and ethics. And I think that has totally helped me in what I do now. Like everything I learned in school, I use now. And I'm so grateful for that, because that's pretty rare. And I feel like my college education was so hands-on that it totally set me up to be able to do what I'm doing at the pace in which I do it. So yeah, I think for me, like my entire background and past making videos and then studying journalism and interning at news stations has set me up to be able to be, you know, to be a storyteller on YouTube and to hopefully have those. I'm not necessarily a journalist now, but like there's elements of journalism in what I do. And I really like yeah, I take it seriously. Like if I'm sharing information, I want it to be accurate.
Yeah. Do you think there's an ethical issue in media right now, you know, with so much information out there? As you said, that media law influenced you so much.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I am very much a proponent of free speech. I don't agree with censorship that's happening. Although there is definitely, there are issues with misinformation, but I also think there's a lack of critical thinking that's an issue. Like there, we're going through like the growing pains of building a new dimension, which is pretty much what's happening with the digital space and information in digital media, is it's a new dimension. So we're going through all sorts of growing pains, and there are very powerful companies who do get to dictate like how it's all being shaped. And so while I do think there's definitely issues when it comes to misinformation, and obviously you never know like what's behind something or what the intention is behind something you're watching, so that's why it's so important to question everything and to have critical thinking skills and to try and look at things objectively. But unfortunately, for a lot of the population, we're consuming things in a suggestible state, and then we're just letting that influence how we think. And but I will say that I do think censorship and like limiting free speech is probably more dangerous than misinformation, because that's a slippery slope long term. And I do think though that like teaching critical thinking skills is crucial. And yeah, I don't know what the answer is. There's obviously there are a lot of issues right now when it comes to the type of information being spread and where it's coming from. Yeah. And, you know, I do think my studying journalism, like we were, ethics was hammered into our brains. And then you even like in media law, you learn about intellectual property law and copyright and trademarks. And, you know, there's people who rip my content all the time and it's illegal. And that pisses me off. Like it's, you would be surprised, but it's happening so much.
What do you mean by rip your content?
Oh, like brands will just take a video I made where I mentioned the product and use it for advertising without asking me.
Yeah. And can you sue them? Have you sued any company?
Suing people is
it's a process.
So much energy and
yeah,
money, and like I don't want to waste my time doing that, but I have had to like reach out and say this isn't okay and stand up for myself.
Yeah. And you were mentioning, because I really do think it's important to have that critical thinking and question everything around us, and you mentioned one word that really caught my eye, which was the suggestibility. And that really ties into, I don't know, like we were talking about the before recording, the Dr. Joe Dispenza's work. And he really explains a lot about the subconscious, and when we enter those alpha states and stuff like this, we're very suggestible to the information outside of us. So even when we're watching TV, we enter that state, and everything coming in, we're like eating it up and it's going down there. What would you recommend to someone to really be more conscious about what information they're really seeking out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important for people to understand. And we're not taught this stuff in school. We're not taught how our brain works and how our subconscious works and how our body works, really, because it is so connected to the mind. And the brain is constantly sending neurochemical signals to the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. So that's so important, first and foremost, for people to be aware that when you are watching something, whether it's a movie, a television show, or you're scrolling on your phone, you're in a trance state. Like, look at people on their phones. They're glued into a little box that they're holding, and it's a portal into another dimension. And it looks like they're a zombie in a trance. So that's literally what's happening, is that you're in a trance state. And when you're in that state, your brain waves do change. And in that state, you are highly suggestible to information. So also look at kids who watch TV. Dr. Joe talks about this, that, you know, when you are young, you know, when you're a baby, you're like in Delta, you're pretty much just sleeping, but you're still absorbing everything around you, all the information around you. And that is, you know, the first year of life. It's like
it's shaping you the first 7 years. It's like shaping your personality, everything. Stuff,
right? Totally. When you're that young, through what, I don't know the exact age, but yeah, like 7, 10, around that time, you are literally in a different, you're in theta brainwaves, and you are so suggestible, conditionable, and you're being programmed and conditioned. So to break out of that conditioning, you have to bring awareness to it and like really understand. This is why like self-development work is so important. And this is why, bringing awareness to your thoughts is so important, because you can start to identify and go deeper as to where they might be coming from. But that is, I think, every child and every human who is like opting in to this digital dimension needs to know what's happening to their brain. And we're not being taught that. And we're not being taught how, you know, how these devices are feeding us the information we want to see, and how it's contributing to confirmation bias and creating our own bubble of reality that's not actually objective reality. So that type of education is critical. And I think when you start to bring awareness to it, that's how you get to decide and take back your control and your power. Because in so many ways, we're just being, we're being manipulated. And our feed is, you know, we think that that is like the world, that is like our tiny little bubble of reality. And we're just being fed what the algorithm knows we're going to, it's going to keep us there.
It's an echo chamber at the end
of the day. We're in complete echo chambers. And that's why, you know, we're seeing so much division, because people are like, I don't get why they don't understand this. Or I don't get how people think like this. It's like, well, why do you think the way you think? It's because you've had a set of experiences in your life that is so narrow to the vast, like, human experience. We're all living this human experience in different ways. But our experience is just a tiny, tiny little grain of sand compared to the entire planet and the entire universe. Mm-hmm. And so when we think that that grain of sand is like the ultimate truth, that's completely preposterous. Like, that's just, we need to have humility in knowing that our experience is so narrow compared to others. And that's what we're, you know, we're here to find understanding and compassion with each other and really listening. And so I always say, like, if we can find ways to talk to each other and talk to people who don't agree with us from a place of listening to their perspective, and vice versa, like, that's how we get to move past this division that we're seeing. Because the division happening right now in the polarity is, will be a downfall to the species. Like, it already is. So we get to decide, okay, how do we want to move past this? Because attacking people and judging others is not gonna do it. That only creates defensiveness and drives people farther apart. I think judgment is toxic, but our egoic, like, prefrontal cortex wants to judge. Is that the right part? I don't want to be
in. I think that's it.
The prefrontal cortex. Also, the brain is like, you know, obviously that's where a lot of our anxiety comes from, and that's part of like our survival mechanism. But what I'm trying to say is that that ego we all have, like, loves judgment because it makes us feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's a huge part of, I guess, for me and my path, is like, how do I release judgment constantly of myself and of others? Because we want to jump straight to it. But that's not, you know, that just creates more separation, and it comes from a place of fear.
And when you were diving into all the personal development in that space, like, really, what tools or what techniques have you found that have really allowed you to reach that state of consciousness where you're more aware of what's going on around you? You're more aware of the vision. You're more aware of, like, others' preconceived notions. Is it meditation? Is it diving into other techniques? What would you recommend someone to start going on that path?
Yeah, I think everybody's path is so different, and what practices resonate with me may not resonate with others, but I just don't know who I would be without my yoga practice, which has then led me to meditation, because yoga is a moving meditation in a way. And now meditation is like a non-negotiable in my day. And that is truly what has allowed me to have awareness of my own thoughts on a moment-to-moment basis, not just in meditation, but when you start to train that through taking time, like anything, if you want to get, if you want to build muscle and get in good shape, you need to train at the gym. We need to train our minds every day, or at least on some consistent basis, to be able to bring awareness to our thoughts and our thought frequencies and our thought patterns so that we can change them. Because when we go on autopilot and when we're not aware and we're living in an unconscious state, then you can't do anything about it. Like, you're just going on a reactionary, you're moving through life in a reactionary state rather than in a state of control, where you can bring awareness to a thought and say, or a reaction, and then say, I noticed like I reacted in a way in that moment that I don't want to. I want to be the kind of person that does XYZ. And in this moment I was angry and reactionary. And that's, we have to be gentle with ourselves too, like knowing we're human. But the awareness is everything, because that's how you then in the next moment get to decide something different. And that takes time. Just like getting in shape and getting healthy takes time, and there is no magic pill and like overnight success. It's the same thing with training our minds, and it's a lifelong journey. It doesn't stop. Like, if I want my body to stay healthy, I can't just give up and like lay on the couch and eat whatever I want. I can't like let go of my discipline, or else I will get a certain result that I don't want. So the same way that physical health has to be a lifelong journey, mental health has to be a lifelong journey. And we live in a culture that's trying to tell us that we can just take a pill, or we can do some quick thing and get a quick fix. And that's just not realistic for like anything. So I think for me, like, meditation has become non-negotiable, because I have seen over years of practicing what it's like when I don't do it and what it's like when I do. And I want the version of myself when I am meditating. But as you both know from studying Dr. Joe, we are often so addicted to our own suffering. And actually, like, the comfort of those same neurochemicals hitting the cells in our body and like wallowing in our own sort of self-pity can be addicting, because it feels kind of good to the ego in a way. Like, nobody wants to suffer, but in a way we kind of like it, because it makes us feel comfort sort of. And I think a lot of people can relate to that when you do bring awareness to it. And so it takes a greater level of energy and an effort to overcome that and then decide, no, actually, like, I'm not down with the suffering anymore. I want to live a life every day where I feel incredible. Even when life throws me challenges, how can I rise above it? And how can I actually take back my own power and my own control to create the reality that I desire? Because we are constantly creating our reality, and our perception is our reality. The same way I was talking about perspective, that our own perspective is so different than others, and it's so narrow compared to the 7-8 billion people on the planet and what's beyond the planet. Like, I think the same way, we have to understand that, you know, we are the co-creators of our reality. And I just, for me, I want to get back to actually answering the question. 'Cause for me, it's been crucial. I think a yoga practice is crucial for me. And meditation has been crucial, and everybody talks about these things, but I think you have to try a lot of stuff to find out what's going to work for you. But awareness is everything. Awareness is power. So whether that's getting like writing in journal and getting your thoughts onto paper so you can see them objectively, or going to somebody like a therapist who can be an objective perspective. But the one thing I'll say is I think everybody should get off their phone for at least like an hour a day. Mm-hmm. And that can be your time that you do work out or meditate or do yoga or go on a walk or whatever. But that phone is often clouding judgment. So take time off of it to just be with your thoughts and not distract yourself.
Yeah. And for you, I've seen that you really take time in the mornings, especially to work on yourself. And that's really back to what we were saying. That's also a time when we're more suggestible because we're just coming out of that sleep state. So there's a lot of people, I used to do this. Like I used to do this for the first 3 years of college. And before, even when I had a phone, before I had a phone, like I just wake up and I'm doing something or I'm going on my phone and I'm checking Instagram. Like how have you found that giving yourself that space in the morning specifically has optimized your awareness and your just conscious state and day to day?
Yeah. Oh, it's so critical. And again, it's come from learning what I'm like when I don't prioritize that time and when I do. Mm-hmm. It's so different. It's just my entire day is different. I don't feel like myself when I just rush out of bed and I don't take that time for myself. So it's, yeah, I think also like I'm not somebody who is a proponent, at least personally, like for some people it works really well to have like the same exact morning routine every day. Mm-hmm. That's not for me. Especially because being a female, we have a very different type of, it's called an infradian rhythm. Like the male body is on a 24-hour circadian rhythm clock every day. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And the female also has her hormonal cycle that is constantly moving with the moon cycles and changing. And we're going through all sorts of shifts throughout the month. So to think that every single day we should do the same thing, like wake up at 5 a.m. and mm-hmm. this is not necessarily healthy or optimal for a female body. So I really have learned to be intuitive with what I need moment to moment or day to day, but I do come up with some type of the night before, some type of like schedule, so that I'm organized and I wake up and I know what I'm doing. I need a mix of some days I need like really high intensity interval training and I need to like really work my body really hard. And other days I need to do yoga and maybe sleep a little bit extra, mm-hmm. And like slow down and breathe and meditate. So it's really, it doesn't matter like what is going on because it's going to be different for what I need, but it has to be at least something. And yes, we are, like you mentioned, we are very much suggestible when we're coming out of our sleep-wake cycle. And that is a perfect time to set intention for the day and to decide, what do I want this day to be like? And who do I want to be? And like, what would make this a day successful for me? And how do I want to show up? And that is, for me, the journaling has been so helpful. I also I've tried all sorts of things. I was trying just... for like, what's it called? Stream of consciousness. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was doing stream of consciousness writing where I would just like write 3 full pages front and back of like my thoughts, just word vomiting. And that can be so helpful to just like let yourself be free and get your thoughts onto paper. And yeah, I think like it doesn't also, I like, definitely like some days to have a long morning, like before I do any work, even like I wake up at 5:30 and then I'm doing a routine till like 3 hours. I'm like, wow. you know, work, like exercise, and then to getting ready and then making juice or
a little Joe Dispenza.
Yeah, Joe Dispenza.
That's already like 1 hour.
Yeah, right? Like Joe Dispenza's meditations can be so long.
Yeah.
So sometimes I love like a long morning routine. Like that's ideal. But then not every day will that happen. If I was up too late, I got to make sure I'm sleeping enough. So then the routine is shorter. But yeah, we don't have to be rigid. Like people beat themselves up too for not, you know, for
being guilty for not doing their habits.
Yeah, but that again, especially if you're a woman, you got to understand, like women especially beat themselves up if like, why can't I wake up at 5 a.m like I'm so exhausted? Because you're fucking on your menstrual cycle and you're supposed to rest. Like be okay with that. That's like part of the female body. Mm-hmm. Is we need that deeper rest during certain times of the month, and the other times of the month we're super energetic. And so if you work with your natural cycles, then that's a way to take back power. But unfortunately, like we are extremely disconnected from nature right now.
Yeah.
So that's been also for me, like how can I connect back with nature, because that is so informative, and like the wisdom that nature allows, like that gives a wisdom within nature, there's so much that we can learn from it. And if we can align ourselves with nature, like that's where our power is, because mm-hmm. we're come from the earth. Like that's where we're a species of animals on the planet, and we forget yeah. that as humans. We think we're like above it or separate, but it's that's what's creating a lot of our problems right now too, I think.
Mm-hmm. And even just like for me, just finding out that the earth really just vibrates on its own frequency, and we're supposed to be connected with that vibration. And one of the most powerful things I did it this morning was I go on a run and I just take off my shoes and I'm on the grass. And that really, like you can tell how much that helps you, like throughout the day. You just feel more grounded. You feel more really just connected. And you were talking about intuition a lot, and I had no idea about the cycles that the females go through, different from males in their circadian rhythm. But how much does that tie into the intuition? And I wanted to know more about how intuition, and you talk a lot about the mystical, how has that really shaped your life from now to what you're doing?
That's such a good question. And it's so cool because it ties into everything you're talking about with nature and a female cycle. Like females, our power, women's power is in our intuition and in our connection with nature. And it's like lost wisdom that I want all of us to remember. But men too, it's so important to cultivate intuition and be connected with nature. But if you think about like the female body, like we create life in our womb, mm-hmm. and that is like the ultimate creation. And the way that our bodies are meant to sync up with the moon cycles, that is pure intuition. And when we can connect with that energy, and when we can like listen to our body, because the minds for both men and women and all humans, you know, we have this amazing, powerful brain that can do so much and is incredible. But if you think about energetically, just think like what goes on up here. It's a lot of chaos and logic, and like it's fast and moving, and it's like controlling a lot. But if you think about feeling energetically, what happens below your neck is like the body holds so much wisdom. The heart holds so much intelligence. Like the heart has neurons. Like the yeah. heart and the brain are connected. And yeah. you know, the Heart Math Institute and Dr. Joe, they talk about the new research coming out when it comes to heart intelligence. Our gut has so much wisdom. Why do you think people say listen to your gut? It's because yeah. it's a real feeling. Like you can feel in your gut, and your gut is connected to your brain, and your gut health has to do with your brain health. So all of this is so connected.
Yeah.
And our intuition is our truth and our power, and it doesn't always seem logical. And for me, that I used to be so bad at making decisions, and I would go back and forth like with decisions, and it was all coming from this chaotic place. And it was my brain just trying to make decisions, and it didn't work. And I was so indecisive. And now my practice and my journey has been, how do I listen to the inner wisdom that is happening within my body, like my body feeling it rather than just my head. And that is how we cultivate intuition. The body has so much intelligence and knowing. And for me, when I listened, I always know. It's crazy. Like, if you try it, your intuition always knows. Like, I've had situations where I ignore it and I'm like, I knew. Like, why did I not listen? I knew the whole time. And I didn't listen because it didn't seem logical. Mm-hmm. But my intuition knew. And then there are times when I do listen to it and it doesn't seem logical. And I'm like, I don't know why, you know, my intuition is saying this, but I'm just going to go with it. And then something crazy happens. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like,
you give us an example of something that happened like that when you listen to your intuition.
Yeah. Well, I had this really interesting thing happen recently that I think that the universe is very peculiar in the way that it speaks to us, in the way we're communicating with a higher intelligence. And you could say, like, oh, they're just coincidences, but I've had things happen that are so just feel like time stops, you know. And I had something happen recently where I was in quarantine in LA. And it got to the point I was like quarantining for 2 months, and there was a construction site next to my apartment, and you know, it was getting very aggressive, and I was like, I felt so cooped up, and I was like, my body craves nature. I need to get into nature. I don't know how, but like, I just need to get out. Right. And so, my friends and I were like, let's like just plan to drive somewhere. Right. Like, we can just go somewhere in California, and I don't know where, but let's go. And so we didn't know what was going to happen. And then I sort of put that out there, and that's my intuition was like, you're meant to go somewhere. My other friend called me, and he's like, hey, I'm having this small birthday gathering at this lake house with people who've been quarantining. You should come. And I'm like, oh, perfect. Like, this is on a lake in Central California in nature. Let's go. And we were driving there, and my logical mind was like, is this okay? Like, should I be doing this? But my intuition was like, you need to go. Like, for your mental health, you need to go. You need to go see people. You need to be in nature. And then on the way there, I told my friend, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen, but something is going to happen. Like, I feel like something is going to happen. And I'm very excited. I don't know what it is, but like, something is going to happen. And my intuition is like a psychic thing where I was like, I don't know what's coming, but it's coming. And so we go to the lake, and there were these two little girls there that had come with their mom. And these little girls, I haven't told this story like to anyone outside, but I think I should tell the story. It's really, really incredible. So anyways, we're at the lake, and these two little girls come down, and I love kids. And I was like, oh my God, those girls are so cute. I want to go swimming with them. And so, the mom called to the girl, and she's like, her name is Sky, the little girl. And I was like, oh my God, she has my name. I got a bond with her. So we're bonding and swimming. And these two little girls are like 10 years old. Like, I found out later, Sky was 8. The other girl is 10. And I was like, are you sisters? And they go, no, we're cousins. And I was like, oh. And I asked the other girl, what's your name? And she says, my name is Lily. And I literally, my heart stopped, and it felt like time stopped, because my cousin, who is my best friend from when we were that age, is named Lily.
Holy shit.
And I literally felt like I was I was time traveling, like, and seeing our younger selves through a mirror right in front of me, because these two girls are like Sky and Lily, little Sky and little Lily, like, were right in front of me, and they were so much like the way we were. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Like, this is too weird, right? Like, what are the chances that at this moment where I already feel like following my intuition, and then holy shit, this almost cosmic experience happens where I feel like I'm looking into a mirror and like seeing my younger self. And then the other thing about it was that it was a total message from the universe, because Lily is, I mean, she is like my all-time best friend, soul sister. And we needed to have an important conversation, and it hadn't happened, and I had just been avoiding it. And like, that was a message. And it's not only that, that's not the only time I've gotten that message. Like, I was in Sedona and I was doing a horse medicine ceremony, connecting with horses who are super psychic. And this horse came up to me and was like, I was connecting with this horse, and I asked what's the horse's name, and the horse's name was Lily.
Wow.
And so it was so clear. It was like, okay, I can ignore this and say, oh, it's like a coincidence. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not going to do anything about it. Or I can decide that this is a clear message that I'm being told and do something about it. And I ended up writing her a letter while I was there and reading her the letter later. And it was like the most important thing that could have happened for our relationship at that time. And she's my family. She's my soul sister. She's like so important to me. And it was so important that that happened. So that's an example of the intuition, like it just knew something was going to happen and I didn't know what. And then the series of events that followed that day were also very synchronistic. Mm-hmm. I ended up in a place that I didn't plan to be, that was like a gold rush town, like the heart of the gold rush. And I had this past life experience, doing past life regression where I was a gold rush. I like thought I was a gold rusher.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah. So
insane.
I ended up in a gold rush town, like, and not even planned to be there. I didn't even know it was. And then I get there and I'm like, this is so weird. Like, and I think I'm meant to come back here. And there are so many things that once you start to, when you're closed off, it's hard to see these moments in life. Like, and I was like that for a long time, I think. And then the more that I opened myself up and allowed myself to connect inwards and follow these intuitive hits, the more cosmic, magical experiences start showing up. So that's one example recently. But my intuition has, I mean, it's led me in so many incredible journeys. Mm-hmm. And so it can be scary to listen to something that doesn't feel logical, or to like just listen to a little whisper inside of yourself that is maybe it's scary to follow that. But on the other side of that is it's like so much life learning and experience and magic.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Wow, like, this has been one of the most powerful conversations I've had. And like, literally my neck hurts from nodding so much. Like, that's never happened to me. I need to do some yoga. But yeah, we wanted to dive into our like wrap up segment. But before that, where can people find you? Where can people know more about you?
Yeah, my YouTube channel is Sky Life, and my Instagram is at Sky Cowens. And you can find me there. I have a Facebook page too, but if you go to YouTube, everything's linked.
Okay, perfect. So the first part of the question really would be, the name of this podcast is The Energy Motto. Mm-hmm. I'm going to explain a little bit about what that means. And the question is, upon getting up in the morning, what's one thing that makes you feel alive? So in other words, what have you found that ignites the flame within and allows you to tap into your energy, which we've said it's the untapped sources of internal energy that humans hold to unveil innate physical, mental, and spiritual abilities.
Okay, when I wake up in the morning, for me, it's just the possibility of the day is so exciting. It's like, again, that feeling of, I don't know what's going to happen, but something could happen today.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And the second question is just to wrap it up all up is, what is a final tip or a final nugget of wisdom for anyone who has not yet unleashed that energy within them?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Find ways to feel into your body, whether it's working out to connect, to breathe and feel the strength of your body, or stretching to feel your muscles. Find some type of way to feel into the energy of your body.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Sky, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us. Your messages have really resonated with me, and I hope the others will too. Keep it up with your videos. They're amazing. Keep up that curiosity, that investigation, and we'll keep in touch.
Awesome. It was so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate it very much. Take care.
Wow. That was Sky Cowens, you know, giving us that depth on so many different topics. You know, I got the goosebumps for sure when she was talking about her getaway at the lake and all that. That symbolism that really shocked me, you know, when listening to it live. So, you know, hopefully you guys had a good experience like I did, and wanted to know, you know, let us know what kind of feedback you'd like to give us, whether it's the intros, the content, the way we ask questions. Let us know through @TheEnergyModel on Instagram. Take care.